Hey, Justin here. Just wanted to give a quick intro before this episode starts, Dragon Slayer, because I jump right into a story. And to give you some context, the story starts a long time ago during SEAL training and an evolution that had failed at a couple times, as you'll hear. But, you know, this is a skill that I want to share with you through story form that has been helpful in my life, actually pretty profound, getting me through failures, big challenges, and the reason why I've had some success in my life. And I hope this helps you and you can apply it to your life. So here you go, Dragon Slayer. There I was, standing by the pool, barely 19 years old, cold, shivering, and it had already failed. Not once, but twice. Unsure of what was going to happen next, unsure of my future, unsure I should even be there. That's what was running through my mind. And we were trying to complete what was called drown-proofing. And what it really is kind of underwater torture. The instructors tie your hands and feet together, your hands behind your back and your feet together, and throw you in the pool, only about 9 feet deep. First thing you need to do is bob in the water, meaning go vertical and sink to the bottom, push off the bottom, and go to the top. Simple, right? And after a couple minutes of being observed doing that, you're required to swim across the pool, about 25 yards, with your hands and feet tied, come back, then go vertical in the water, face the instructor who's standing on the side of the pool, and bob again. This time at the end, when instructed, you are to grab a diving mask that's on the bottom of the pool with your teeth and bring it up. And all of this is really to see how comfortable you are in the water, holding your breath. Now, I was barely 145 pounds soaking wet. Seemed like every other person in that class was twice my size, some collegiate athlete, and not sure what I was doing there at this point. But a lot of people had already quit. It was pretty shocking. Our class, I think, had whittled down to less than 40 people at that time, and we were only a number of weeks in. We had graduated only 8 originals from this class, and at that time I thought I might be one of the people kicked out from this very evolution. Now, I hadn't had issues with anything else. I could run really fast in the sand, the 2 mile open ocean swim, and the obstacle course passed no problem. But this was getting me. And the particular part that was getting me was that I couldn't sink to the bottom. No matter what I would do to let out all the air in my lungs in order to sink to the bottom, it took a very long time to get to the bottom. And so you can imagine that's kind of stressful. And the first time that I failed, the SEAL instructors just noticed, hey, this guy's not comfortable in the water. Hey, he fails. Hey, let's watch him. Because by the time I swam across the pool with my hands and feet tied and came back and was in that vertical position to bob again in the water up and down, I was a little bit out of breath. And you can imagine trying to let out all your air to sink the bottom, push off the bottom, come up again. After doing that for a couple minutes, it started to get desperate. I'm gasping for breath as I come to the top, and there's just no way around it. So I had one more try. And what was going through my head? Wow, geez, I'm not cut out for this. Look at everybody else. They can do it no problem. I don't feel uncomfortable with water, but I guess what's going to have to happen is I'm just going to have to pass out, because as they're watching me, they seem to think, oh, he's just freaking out in the water. He's not comfortable. Let's go ahead and fail him again. And then that's really it. You're out. And you'd already endured quite a bit to get to that point. And so I had one more shot. And I remember looking up from standing by the pool before you jump in and start what would be my last try, and seeing one of the SEAL instructors. He was up on one of the platforms, kind of like a diving platform, looking down, and he was just staring at me, more out of kind of disgust that I would be failing this, and kind of a curious observation of, he already knew how this was going to go. Why give me one more shot? And at that time, a number of other people that needed a retest were doing the retest as well. And for a moment there, I was like, wow, why even try? Why even face this? But I didn't. I faced it. I jumped in the water, knowing full well I'd already failed twice. And in my mind, I said, you know what? If they can't see that what's happening, then I guess that's just what's going to happen. They'll have to pull me out and revive me. And you fail for that too, of course. And that's kind of what I put in my mind as I jumped in the water and just was resolved in that. So the first couple minutes bobbing up and down in the water, as you come up, you kind of lock eyes with the instructor. And at that time, they'd pulled a couple other instructors to come over and watch me in particular, because of, I don't know how funny it was or just the malicious nature of watching somebody suffer. And I could hear them talking, and nothing really was wrong in the first couple minutes. You're just bobbing, but you could tell they were wondering why it took so long for me to get to the bottom and go back up. And I did that for the required number of minutes. They motioned me to swim. And to swim with your hands and feet tied is difficult in itself. You kind of have to do this kind of like a sea snake kind of motion with your hips and breathe and put your head down and kind of kick with your feet. And it looks kind of ridiculous, but made it down there. I tried to go as slow as possible to kind of conserve energy, not to get too out of breath. I go down 25 meters, come back 25 meters, slowly get back. And at that point, when I get back, I look up, and I think a couple more of the SEAL instructors had kind of come by to watch the show. And they motioned me to do the vertical part of it, which is just sinking down the 9 feet of water. And I could feel the burning in my lungs on the very first bob, because it must have taken me 10 to 15 seconds to sink to the bottom. That doesn't sound like a lot of time, but that's a lot of time, especially when you're out of breath. You got everybody watching you and your hands or feet are tied, pushed off the bottom. And my kind of strategy was, can I go as high as possible, go into the air, not the air, but above the water, kind of get my chest above the water, and then use that momentum to go back underwater. Well, that didn't work so well either, because as I came out pretty high, I kind of looked like a Trident missile coming out of the water, and I'm gasping for breath like a stuck pig. And as I went back in the water, I didn't go directly vertical straight back down. I kind of drifted to the side a little bit, and then I just hovered there. And I remember being underwater and looking up, and one of the instructors had kneeled down kind of in a squat position to look like, what is he doing? Why is he kind of hovering there in the middle of the water and not going down to the bottom? And I think they thought I didn't blow out all my air, like I was just holding the air in. Because when I came up for the second time, one of the instructors had yelled out, hey, you need to breathe out. You can't have air in your lungs when you're that low. Breathe out. And as I dropped back down, I was breathing out, but I breathed out everything I had midway. And so it's just a matter of waiting for my body to sink to the bottom, for my toes to touch. And by the third one, the walls were starting to close in, and not being able to breathe. I probably looked kind of desperate in my face, purple and all of that. The instructor on the platform had walked down, and I thought for sure he's going to come over and just say, "Stop, you're done, you're out of here." Come up for the fourth one, things started to look blurry, and they motioned for me to grab the mask on the bottom. And at this time, everybody was watching kind of silently as I slowly sank to the bottom. And trying to grab your mask on the bottom with your teeth, you don't have a mask on, so everything's blurry, and just desperate to breathe. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to pass out. This is it. And somehow I had found the strap with my mouth, again, shot up like a missile coming out of the water. And just, I think everybody was just like, oh my gosh, this guy. One of them had looked at their watch. I think they were timing how long it took from going under the water to get to the bottom and then come back up, and mentioned it to one of the lead instructors. And as I fell back into the water after coming up, I felt an arm go underneath my arm and pull me out of the water onto the pool deck. And I'm coughing. It's just awful. My classmates are sitting over there, and thought for sure that's it. I'm gonna have to go line up with those that either quit or failed. And remember the instructor on the platform kind of kneeled down next to me, kind of whispered in my ear, "You made it." I kind of looked up and looked around, and kind of reassuring looking on his face that he's like, oh, I know what happened. And he's a pretty thin guy himself. He's one of the runners. And they had realized it wasn't me freaking out. It was me just about to pass out because I couldn't sink to the bottom. And I was the smallest guy in this whole Buds class. And that was me facing a massive challenge, an obstacle just right in front of me, and part of me wanting to quit. And that's kind of what I want to share with you guys today. Is I wasn't always a dragon slayer, as this podcast is titled, this episode. You know, facing those things are some of the hardest things to do. And, you know, that's what I love about this analogy of slaying the dragon. You know, facing those things that kind of eat away at you, whether it's really simple things in life that you know you have to do. And when you turn a blind eye to them, right, refusing to face what you need to do, facing your dragons, you kind of get into your comfort zone and you get trapped in these cycles of self-doubt, and you never really realize your potential. And, taking the hard path and facing that dragon that's growing so it doesn't get so big that it consumes you. I think Jordan Peterson had a great analogy on this with the dragon up on the hill with the village that doesn't believe that there's something wrong up there, that this is growing dragon. And they could have easily gone up there and just slayed it when it was a little baby dragon, right? Any one of those villagers, nope, we're not going to do it. It's not a problem. And they're kind of willfully blind to the whole thing. And before you know it, that thing grew into a fire-breathing dragon that just consumed the whole village. And that's how challenges and terrible things in our life are, right? They start really small. And when we don't face them, right, they grow. And you know what I'm talking about. You could probably think of two or three things now. They're like, man, I got to get that thing done. And I got to apply myself to that, or I have to face that challenge or study for that test. Because when we don't, it's not great. What are the negative impacts of not facing those things, and you're avoiding slaying that dragon right away? It really leads to a stagnant and unfulfilling life. You know, there's no personal growth. There's no progress, right? It's very limited. You get into these repeating patterns of negative behaviors, unhealthy cycles, and your life gets filled with regret, right? Not fulfilling your potential, not facing these dragons can lead to a deep sense of regret later in life. And you realize you haven't really fully explored the capabilities and pursuing your dreams, because pursuing your dreams is hard work. It's difficult. Increased anxiety and stress start to happen when those little unresolved problems in your life, you don't face them, right? Not facing them, it contributes to all sorts of stress and anxiety. And it just builds every day, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. And these underlying issues continue to weigh on your mind, and it affects everything else. It affects your relationships, affects your daily work, affects other people in your life. You miss a lot of opportunities when you don't face the dragon. You miss out on valuable opportunities, personal growth. You start to have low self-confidence, because it can erode your self-esteem, as well as avoiding challenging situations that could help you build your resilience and belief in your abilities. All of these negative things happen when you don't face them. And because what happens is, like in that village I'm talking about that Jordan Peterson pointed out, is that the dragon becomes so big, it will consume your entire life, and you cannot face it. You cannot face it. Whether it's something in your life that's some addiction that you have, you don't face trying to get away from it, or you don't face that challenging opportunity that you should take out of fear, but you don't because of fear of failure. And it can be really damaging. So what are the benefits of facing your dragons, right? What are some of those things that you begin to notice, transform, and really ripple through all of your relationships in a positive way when you face your fears and your insecurities? Well, they're pretty profound. Ultimately, facing your dragon is transformative. It's a journey that leads you to all sorts of amazing things in a fulfilling life. But it requires the willingness to engage in self-reflection. Right? You have to look at yourself and go, hey, these are the areas that I'm weak at. I need to face those and be able to set your path to get through them. And you might fail. Absolutely. Absolutely, you might fail. But if you set a routine and discipline in your life that provides structure and helps you stay focused on your goals when you face your challenges, and you might fail, but you keep facing them. That's the point. Is, well, hey, Justin, how do I face all these things? I can barely even, get my day going. Well, it might just start there. Your dragon might be just getting up out of bed, putting your feet on the ground, and facing the day. And that may be day one, and that's okay, because every time you do that, that builds a little bit more grit in your life, and that is a reservoir you can draw upon the next day. Right? Don't worry about solving your whole entire week. Let's focus on the little steps, just one step in front of the other. Because you're really gonna form a sense of purpose, and you're gonna have a deeper fulfillment in life if you face those things. So really the application part of this, and to wrap this whole thing up, is facing a dragon extends far beyond the personal relationships. If you confront your dragons, you unlock just a wellspring of creativity, innovation, and you start to become fearless, right? You're pursuing your dreams, and the most important thing is you don't have regret. At the end of your life, you look back and, regret is really opportunities not taken. And I think it really is challenges not faced. And I think everybody here listening can think of one or two things that are nagging at you. They're like, you know what? I got to face that. I got to have that conversation with that person. I got to confront that thing. Oh, that tax bill came in. Uh-oh. well, I got to face it. Because what happens when you don't face those things, right? I've already said it once. It starts to erode everything. And what's more damaging is it erodes your, not just you, not just your immediate relationship, but your work relationships, and it starts to spread out. And so to wrap all this up, you know, facing your dragons, we discover, you know, it's at the very essence of who we are and the potential we have. So I hope this short story really helped you, and the analogy of being a dragon slayer and facing those things. If I was going to give you any tips, it would be anything that comes up, any kind of challenge you, and it can be really small one. Just face it head on, no matter how scary that thing is, because you don't want it to grow and turn into that fire-breathing dragon that eventually consumes you. All right. Hope you enjoy that. See ya.